Ah, fantastic stuff. Or, as we'd like to say,
the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions with Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on Siren 107.3 FM. A 21st century radio programme with 23rd century philosophies.
Quite right too, Katie Dore. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ryan Jones. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Of course, Cameron, you never had the joy of speaking to the legend that is Ryan Jones, postgraduate student extraordinaire and indeed acting manager of Siren 107.3 FM.
No, but I have had Ryan Coke.
There you are. And that's the sort of message that we like to sort of spread to the world in so many ways. You know, just joyous stuff, as you'd expect on the last midweek drive for July 2016. But worry not, lots of great stuff that's will be transpiring, including actually a review of at least 1 hour and 5 minutes of The Lady Killers, which is what I spent part of today managing to sort of catch. I appreciate it's not the best way of watching a Phil Lynott work of art on a computer screen in bits lasting up sort of 5 or 10 minutes at a time. But I think I've got a general flavour of the overall story, so you know we can work on that. Meanwhile, what is the weather like in Nashville, Cameron?
Boy, we're still stuck in the hot and humid ridge. We've had heat warnings out for about the past week with the heat factored into it. It's like 104, so yeah, it's warm here.
Mm. And of course, recently, together with your good wife, Jolia, you've been celebrating all manner of wonderful things, including correcting Michelle Obama on the fact that possibly she was a little bit incorrect with her latest statement that she came out in terms of living in a house built by slaves.
Yes, she was completely incorrect about that.
I know we don't do politics much on the Midweek Drive. We leave that, of course, to other mega shows on the Siren network. But I just thought in that particular case it was an erratum that needed to be addressed. It was my academic thing coming out on that basis. Yeah, that's the important thing. Anyway, moving on from there, Ryan, are you ready to actually join the panel that effectively we call the jury for Cameron's Nashville Access Choice?
I'm ready and waiting.
Are you a country music fan at all? It's a possibility for that for you. Of course, only a matter of days, effectively, before Sound and Country Vision actually gets its first official airing. And Cameron, you'll be pleased to know that Tessa Snart is already working on creating a dedicated Facebook page plus invite for the official launch on Thursday, August the 4th. So very good and very exciting from that point of view. Meanwhile, the next Jake Worthington question that you're going to explain to us is rhetoric in action. Off you go, Cameron. Share with us.
Well, we're actually doing the show here live today from the Pie Wagon, just off of Music Row in Nashville. We've just actually wrapped up doing a live Facebook interview with my buddy Templeton Thompson, and then it was just transitioned right into this. And where we're at, it used to be a recording studio with one of the classic country names. Farron Young used to own this recording studio, but it's now a restaurant. And so we thought, what better place to start talking about honky-tonk music? Jake Worthington is a really great friend to Nashville Access. We had him do his first live show here in Nashville back in February. Of course, he was a semifinalist on The Voice with Team Blake a few seasons ago and just blew everybody away. He's got a brand new single out. It just dropped at radio last Friday. Nashville Access debuted it worldwide last week. It was our National Access Super Pick. We've got it for you today. This is brand new Jake Worthington, and it's called How Do You Honky Tonk on Siren 107.3.
Boss man cut a check, been a while, but you cut loose. Whether it's right.
Honestly, I don't know. How do you honky-tonk, Katie Dore?
Well, I was clicking along with it, so yeah.
Ryan Jones, how do you honky-tonk?
With a glass of something.
Cameron, how do you honky-tonk?
mostly face down on the floor.
Certain things remain the same when it comes to pro broadcasters across the base there. But the crucial thing is, it's all very well asking the rhetorical question. It's all right. It's not for you, not a euphemism. How do you honky-tonk? But what did you make of it as a piece of country music, Katie?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. Really, really lively song.
I mean, do you think Tessa would appreciate that?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And Ryan?
Yes. it was very... It sticks in your head. It's one of those tunes that just stays with you.
Had the soundtrack show continued to actually reach the letter H, which was a long, long way in the future after D, of course.
It's on hiatus.
Whilst they're looking for letter E and F and G, Sesame Street had so many problems and challenges over the years getting the right letter together. Thumbs up. Jake Worthington, obviously in top form there. Cameron, you have brought us another shameless delight. So what is the rest?
To please.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you do. Of course, we should say Camo, because I appreciate that. Sound and Country Vision, there's no doubt about it. It's Camo from Nashville Access. We still slip into the old traditional Cameron so
right.
often. It's a bit
That's
like sort right. of putting the Western into country and Western music. It's not.
It's showbiz, you know, and I'm still... feel funny saying it sometimes, but that's the deal. So.
It took a long time. I'll test it on Ryan. I mean, Camo or Cameron? You know, Camo, Cameron?
What? Cameron.
You, Cameron, yeah. Mm. After all, it wasn't Prime Minister David Camo, was it? He might have survived for a lot longer on that basis.
Well, for the younger vote, I think it might have been.
He tried the backwards hat, the baseball hat, and had to hoodie
the high fives.
Katie, Camo or Cameron?
Camo just makes me think of camouflage, and that's not a good look on anyone.
Or indeed a classic 1980s track about a Vietnamese war scenario called camouflage, which is good. But either way, Camo, we love you. That's the important thing. You know, you can spread
you
that
go.
Word. Keep the line going from that perspective. Katie loves you so much, she's going to ask you those last two questions in a purely platonic way, though. Let's keep it straight now. Carry on.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Absolutely have.
Will you be joining us again soon?
I'll be back next week.
Notes from a Very Small Island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
It is. How are you, Emma? Anna.
Not too bad. Not too bad. I was so excited about this Guy Martin's record.
Look, we can't even say anything, otherwise the powers that be will come in and electrocute us, you know? What I said off-air, you cannot broadcast on-air. That's why it said off-air, Anna, for goodness. How many years have we known each other?
Okay, I'm stumped.
Exactly. We wish him well, and there will be, in fact, a Guy Martin hydrofoil record attempt taking place somewhere in Lincoln, probably on the Brayford Pool, I gather, within the next 24 hours. That's all I can say, and I think that's fair.
Silent 107.3 FM.
Thank you. It was very speedy, you see. That's the important thing that we kept our lot of time doing that. Anyway, we have Katie Dorr with us again. Yay!
Hello. We also
have Ryan Jones.
Hello.
Hello, Ryan.
Yes, exactly. He's a newbie to the Midweek Drive, although has kind of soaked up the siren atmosphere, as indeed you do when you're the officially... legally entitled person to actually press the buttons and be our station manager to look after things.
It's like a knighthood.
It's very impressive. Anyway, Anna, what sort of a day have you had in Jersey?
Jersey's turned cold. I know it sounds funny, but it's just gone downhill since like 2 weeks ago. And our library's had a flurry of tourists, and today we've had lovely American couple who were doing their usual routine of searching for members of their family. So we've had a busy morning, and it's been quite fun, really. So, yeah, it's been a good day so far, yeah.
Which is all we actually need. Now, how long do you actually stay open in that Jersey library of yours? I mean,
I work part-time, so I do 9:30 till 2 most days. And my colleague, who's the full-time, a proper qualified librarian, because I'm not a qualified person, I'm just, you know, me.
Anna, never admit lack of qualifications. There are people who rise to phenomenal sort of heights just on the basis of never admitting lack of qualifications. Only kidding, obviously, as Siren is based in the university and we would endorse qualifications wherever possible.
Well, she's full-time. She did her degree in Christchurch, New Zealand, and accepted the job without actually coming to the island at all or even seeing the library. She was interviewed by Skype, which apparently is quite commonplace these days.
Do you know, Anna, we're actually going to be using Skype on this very programme.
Aha! Yeah, the technology is there.
Hopefully, exactly. In fact, we might be. If you have Skype, we might introduce you to Skype, and you can actually sit on the whole program.
I keep forgetting passwords and what I call myself. It's ridiculous.
Do you know, I have the same problem, and you know, Katie, every day is a case of what do we call you today?
I never know who I am. I have to check the list.
Who are we? Anyway, Ryan, have you ever been to Jersey?
No, I was invited some weeks ago, but I had to decline.
There we are.
But no, it has been somewhere I'd like to go.
So again, the classic question, what should Ryan prepare for in terms of if he ever decides to actually take that trip through the English Channel to Jersey?
Well, there's a lot going on at the moment. There's an archaeology week at the moment, which involves looking at prehistoric dolmens and sites that have got woolly mammoth bits and bobs. And coming up in September, which I'm plugging a lot, is a medieval conference. And it's all about things medieval, particularly to do with France and England and that kind of jazz. And we hope that it will be well attended. We've got some quite interesting speakers coming over. None from Lincoln, I have to say, but there is a chap from Kiel called Dr. Harris who's coming over, who's very wise about pipe rolls and all things historical. So, yeah, things are busy in Jersey at the moment, it's true to say, yep.
Well, that makes sense. And Anna, you've got a chance now to actually bowl questions to both Katie and Ryan about life in Lincoln. In so many ways, because they're both postgraduate students, they're both doing MAs, which is what you, of course, did at the University of Kent at Canterbury.
And
yeah, and Katie, of course, where did you go?
My undergrad was at Kent at Canterbury.
You see what we've done here? Do you see that connection? Yeah, yeah. So.
Oh, Canterbury's wonderful.
It's gorgeous.
I love Canterbury.
It's no Lincoln, but you know, I would say that anyway. But anyway, yeah, so Katie, would you like to maybe throw some names of your time at the University of Kent at Canterbury and see whether they crossed over with Anna Lewis's time there as a postgraduate student?
Oh, gosh, well, do you know Blean at all?
Well, it's funny you should say about Blean, because it sounds like a really dull place, doesn't it? But I happened to go through it about 3 weeks ago, and it's really, really beautiful. And there's a funny place that's got a very sad name, and it's called something like Rough Common.
But it is, yes, Rough Common.
And Rough Common sounds like the sort of place you don't really want to go to after 6 o'clock in the evening. But again, it's a really, really nice place. So I went through the University of Kent only 3 weeks ago, because although I was at Christchurch, I never ventured up the hill. And I was impressed. I thought it was a beautiful campus. I don't know how Lincoln compares, but it's an amazing place, is the University of Kent. Brilliant place. Look, it looks really kind of modern and interesting.
It was built as a prison, I believe.
Oh, seriously?
Seriously. It was a prison with amazing views, but it never became a prison.
Yeah.
It became a university instead.
And strangely, Lincoln originally planned as a Royal Bank of Scotland.
Mm.
Or a shopping centre.
Extraordinary.
Or one of those two things. Just goes to show the things that educators can get up to. Have you been to Kent or Canterbury, Ryan?
I haven't been many places. No, I haven't been there.
He's from Blackpool.
One way in, one way out.
Exactly. Hopefully we'll be heading to Blackpool in about 48 hours from now. In fact, 48 hours from now, I should actually have been in Blackpool and actually be returning back to Teesside.
Take money.
Blackpool. Yeah, it's an extraordinary place, but you know,
having said, you know, is Blackpool still the jolly place it was with loads of like kiss me quick hats and like really
every
cheerful,
day,
jolly seaside
you've described Ryan's outfit there.
I mean, yes, I've got it on now.
Exactly. He brings that shaft of sunshine to the whole thing with his saucy humour and his kiss-me-quick hats, which has helped the whole thing through so many ways. Were you born and bred in Blackpool?
Alas, yes.
So you've seen the... I mean, because when I was there a few years ago, I did feel it desperately needed a lick of paint.
Yes, it still does. Yes. When the wind gets strong enough, some of the houses do fall over.
Because early childhood memories, of course, of the Illuminations, which are very impressive in that, and indeed Sunderland tried to set up its own Illuminations on the East Coast, but they collapsed. And they left it to the air show. I think they shouldn't have had them all at the same time. It's very confusing, but still. Blackpool obviously still continues with that. And, of course, Norbrecht Castle, home of many a science fiction convention.
Yes, now a hotel.
Yep.
Yeah,
I well remember the end of the Doctor Who programmes, Katie, when they'd all say, and the exhibitions, Doctor Who exhibition at Longleat and Blackpool.
The world famous Longleat and Blackpool.
Exactly. Very impressive. I feel as though once again we've solved the world's problems just from the fact that although it's getting colder in Jersey, the Ice Age hasn't struck as yet. Even though woolly mammoths are actually out there desperately trying to actually make Ice Age 5 into a halfway successful movie, give up. It's not going to work. It's gone. The box office returns are in. It's died. Even Scrat, my personal favourite, it literally is gone. Thankfully, Star Trek Returns is thriving and seems to be doing quite well. Exactly. Star Trek Beyond. Did I say
Poseidon? Return.
Yeah, sorry. Star Trek Beyond. Exactly. Well spotted there, because the Star Trek TV series returns, of course, in the new year.
On Netflix.
2017. And CBS Action. So, any other questions, Annie, you want to put to either Ryan from Blackpool or Katie, originally actually from York, but curiously enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lincoln.
Are you from Lincoln originally?
Well, I mean, I've never been to Lincoln, but I mean, it's I know this is a very strange question, and I'm hoping to go to Penzance for this reason.
Same
is
as there, Lincoln, you know, almost interchangeable, really. Penzance.
I mean, I know it sounds funny, but what are the graveyards like in Lincoln in terms of readability of old tombstones? Has the cathedral in Lincoln got a graveyard?
No.
I know it sounds weird.
Not that it admits to anyway, but obviously all vampires are welcome.
Although recently, while they were excavating to build a new visitor centre, they did find two new, well, I say new, skeletons that date back a few centuries. But not as such. Most of the people are inside it, or were inside it.
Right.
But as for that, well, I mean, we were on the High Street. There's a church on the High Street.
St. Botolph's.
Yes. And we were having a look, because I did history undergraduate. I was, you know, love a tune. And I was looking at the gravestones, and you can't quite make it out anymore. It's just, you know, rough. But we bumped into the priest who looks after the church in the High Street, and he said, no, no one under there anymore.
No, they've all been moved.
Yeah.
They've all been relocated.
I believe that Richard III character under the Leicester car park that basically led to cities across the land, effectively saying if they've got any monarchs or relatives buried somewhere under various other zones, etc. It's frightful, the sort of things that happen there. But once again, I think something which we could pursue in future programmes. Maybe we'll look to it through August. Katie, last two questions for Anna Lewis, please.
Anna, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have, thank you.
Will you be joining us again soon?
I very much like to. Thanks for asking.
And all the light will be, and all the fear.
We are the humming Enya. What a wonderful track to actually have a Celtic connection with Hadrian's Wall, even very own reporter extraordinaire Bill Coles. Are you actually on the wall as we speak, William?
No, I have. I'm a mile off from the wall now. My 14-year-old son and I have got into Hadrian's Lodge, and rather nice little B&B. And, we're off the wall. He can only do about...
That was Michael Jackson, you'll find, I think. He was off the wall. It's a great album. But, you know, if of course, either your good self, William, or your son suddenly starts yelling, ow, and grabbing your crotch, we'll realise that, you know, the spirit of being off the wall is continued from Michael Jackson beyond the grave via the Emperor Hadrian.
Doubtless you're teeing up the track for as soon as we've stopped speaking.
Well, you know, these are the kind of things that we actually work with. But no, something even more exciting, we have Ryan Jones in the studio from Blackpool originally, and postgraduate student at the University of Lincoln, as well as...
Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
And I'm also going to pass over to Katie, as promised, though she has yet to return Dave Cameron's School Days.
I'll bring that back, sorry.
My personal favourite, William Cole's novel, which he's got a week to read, Mr. Two Bomb.
Ah. An epic... One man, two atomic bombs, and an epic story of love, loss and redemption.
Says it.
Yes, it's a Scrooge set in the Second World War.
And that's the kind of magic that we can appreciate that you bring to us on a day-by-day, week-by-week scenario. So have you been walking the wall, or was it just a case of you were umming and ahhing about, should we stay this side of the wall? Should we go south of the wall? Shall I go back to my English route? Shall I stay in Edinburgh? What's the official Coles line on this?
I have been walking the wall with Dexter, and the idea was that, obviously, Dexter being 14 is rather like a goth and is... fairly monosyllabic, and I thought that walking holidays, provided I gave him enough sweets to keep him going, might be the way forward. And surprisingly, we've had a lot of chat and a lot of laughs, and these are not the same sort of things that you get on a normal holiday with a teenager when they're just, you know, hunched up in front of their screens or doing whatever they're doing. But walking, going on this immense walk, it's been terrific. Though we've, only 10 miles a day tops, otherwise he'll get grumpy.
And obviously your son is not to be confused with the Dexter TV series Police Analyst by Day and Serial Killer by Night. Just want to actually make that quite clear.
He is also not to be confused with the cattle. The Dexter cattle. Did you know about them?
Well, yep. Katie's straight in there when it comes to matters bovine. Katie has experienced so much of it across the University of Lincoln. She knows her bovine stuff to the nth degree. Thank you, Katie.
I like a nice cow.
Who doesn't? That's utterly ridiculous. Lincoln Red, of course, not the Lincolnshire Red, because the Lincolnshire Red is a cheese, William. Another piece of useful
information. I know that, along with poachers as well. Isn't that another one?
There's another sort of wonderful system there that makes our county just that little bit more joyous and happy as a result of that. So
I can heartily recommend smoked poacher if you get the chance.
Or
what about, aren't there sausages as well? Isn't there a Lincolnshire sausage?
There is. It's a peppery, sagey sausage.
Do you mean to say, Willie, when you were last in Lincoln, you didn't avail yourself of the sheer delight of the Lincolnshire sausage?
I mean, that was me imagining just a sausage was a sausage, you know. Yeah. I didn't know that the Lincolnshire was this peppery, sagey one. I should have given it a go. A miss.
Well, one day I'm sure you'll return. Or failing that, we'll post some up to you. We'll get some way, shall we?
Well, maybe I might come back to talk to those students, eh?
In the days where I was coordinating the guest speakers programme, clearly I could have actually booked you in these days.
You've lost the clout.
I can't say anything at this particular routine because who knows what could actually happen from that point of view. It's who knows what could happen. Ryan, any questions for William Coles about life, the universe, living in Edinburgh? As a lad from Blackpool, you might have just looked at Edinburgh with the same sort of awareness of people look at the Seychelles these days. Or, you know, the Canary Islands or other such vistas of fame.
Well, as someone who's never... Well, I went north of the border once.
Yeah, so most of us have been.
You went and decided, I won't do that again.
We were in Carlisle and we thought, you know, it's only a few minutes up the road. So we went up and then it started to rain. So Grandad immediately turned off and we came back. And we've never been back since. But it's a shame because I really want to go to, you know, parts of Scotland, see what it's like, the history and the heritage up there. But as someone who's never been to Edinburgh, what is the mood like up there at the minute?
Oh, it's fantastic. They're all gearing up for the Edinburgh Festival, which is one of the biggest arts festivals in the world. Oh. And, you know, for August, the joint is jumping. It's and the weather is not too bad either.
And, of course... Within festival, we clearly have representations from the University of Lincoln, Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, usually actually have some premise that's actually up there. And I know, William, before you go any further, you did invite us up to come and do coverage.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, you can camp out in our front room for a week or two.
Whoa, what can I say?
We'll get the Siren FM gazebo.
That's what you call Midrick Drivette's band of brothers there. You know, you can camp out. You know, you can see Dexter saying, who's this strange bloke who's actually got his tent up in our front room, Dad? Obviously, he may not be a Cockney. I just had to put on that accent for sort of some sort of effect, really.
All teenagers speak like that.
Do you think so? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. As if in it, and so on. But yeah.
Back still, in the day.
Back in the day.
I believe this is what the young people today are saying.
It's getting a little bit too hip for us.
Well, you'd be lucky to get that amount of words out of him, I can tell you.
It's a very difficult procedure because you've got parts of the anatomy are sort of changing and forming, and there's a whole different sort of aspect of life there. It's all down to hormone. You know, not only have you got testosterone, you've got estrogen as well. Yes, you know, it's not just a case of estrogen.
Oh, he's got estrogen.
Yeah, exactly.
How are they getting that? Are they getting that from the sort of river water or something?
I think it's all to do with Nicola Sturgeon's grand plan, but I can't say anything else, otherwise we're into conspiracy theories and Lord knows what could happen any further on that basis. But still. Anyway, I feel as though we've just moved into the surreal world of William Cole's telephonic links, in which we can actually talk about saving the world with water. In case people were wondering what happened to Duncan Goose last week, he wasn't well. He was poorly, but hopefully now he's back with us and will be joining us as well as Peter Franklin from New York City and Phil Leonis from Los Angeles and Phil Herdwood, as well as Annette Andre, who should be up next, which neatly leaves Katie with those last two questions to put to the Colesmeister as you prepare to take his book, Cherish the Joys of Mr. Two-Bomb. 168 hours, okay to actually read through that between now and next week, do you think?
Absolutely.
You want to read the abridged version. Don't waste your time with the whole thing.
You can't say them. Carry on, Katie. Last two questions, please.
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
I always have an interesting, if not terrific, telephonic link with you. Thank you, Katie.
Hurrah! Will you be joining us again soon?
Just whenever you ask me. Yes, I'd love to. Yeah,
well, you know, the Emperor Hadrian, he's ready to go.
Thanks.
Supernatural forces of evil as Jeannie Hobkirk, helped the saint to vanquish villains and danced on the Riviera with Tony Curtis and Roger Moore, being a regular midweek drive correspondent from California is the clear way forward. I'm Annette Andre, and I'd like to congratulate you for choosing this station and podcast.
The little-known remixed Annette Andre version there of Michael Jackson and Beat It. And I think it actually, you know, it deserves another airing, Annette. You know, well put together there, and the diction and clarity that just juxtaposed with, of course, Michael in full force there, I think adds a certain quality to life, which we need. Good afternoon, Annette Andre. Oh, indeed, good morning, because in California time, it is indeed coming around now to 9:40 a.m. It's approaching 20 to 6.
That's right. A.m. and no p.m.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's coming around to 5:40 p.m. So we've had a great Wednesday, and you've got some treats in store for you, I can tell you, as a fellow time traveller on the planet Earth. Great stuff. Funny enough, actually, last week, Arthur Weingarten was actually demonstrating, as Katie will attest to, how the Weingarten cats were musical aficionados as well. I won't ask whether they had any views on Michael Jackson, because it wouldn't be fair, you know, on the cats, let alone Michael.
I think they just ran and hid under the bed.
Do you know, so many people during his time on this planet Earth had that experience, particularly when he did the Thriller video, but still, never mind. Let's just work our way through it. What would you like to share with us for today, Annette, the last July 2016 midweek drive for your thoughts from California?
What I want to say is what the world needs now, especially now, is a second coming of the sea monkeys. Who can think of Dickens, A Christmas Carol, and not associate it with bah, humbug? For generations, this curt dismissive has cast a pall over a concept that I'm convinced could be an antidote to today's poisonous climate of fear and alienation. Like the castor oil of yore, a healthy dose of humbug can work miracles, vaporizing the snake oil rants of a Trump and his ilk on both sides of the Atlantic, and replacing them with an abundance of awe and wonder, and yes, even a return to the sunny kingdom of hope and glory. I realize that's a lot to promise for a word the Oxford Dictionary takes great pains to cast in a negative light. A fraud, a sham, a hoodwink, oh, and they're just gearing up. But one of the definitions actually bolsters my case for a rethink, and that's hocus pocus. While the vast majority of the Oxford's finger wags are worthy of penal servitude, hocus pocus opens a path to our childish delight in the magic of sleight of hand. The coin that mysteriously tumbles out of your ear, the fan of cards that dissolves the flick of a wrist into a winging dove. The listing of hocus pocus, cheek by jowl with the other indictments, might warrant an overnighter in Pentonville. But who would bring the charge? We applaud tomfoolery, designed to steal our belief as harmless good fun. The magician, not a con man, but a wizard worthy of Oz. I came to this resurrection of humbug by chance as I was thumbing through some of my old scrapbooks. There, in one of them, pasted in place on the yellowing page, was a photo from a 1950s fan magazine of Clark Gable dancing with Rita Hayworth in a Hollywood nightclub. But it was the advert on the bottom half of the page that riveted my attention and triggered a memory. Against the background of fire engine red were the words Sea Monkeys in huge, bold letters, and next to an illustration of an underwater castle were fantastical drawings of male and female sea monkeys in a state of erotic undress, their long, sensuous tails curling just so to hide the creature's privates. The advert invited me to enter the wonderful world of amazing, real, live, fun pets, so eager to please they can even be trained. The copy neglected to say what these otherworldly creatures could be trained to do, but I remember quickly filling out the advert's coupon and enclosing my 2 shillings for immediate delivery of a complete family of sea monkeys, including their babies. Mind you, I was still in my very, very early teens and only too eager to invest in the fantastic rather than subscribe to the same old. If I had any doubts that the reality promising to arrive in my postbox would not satisfy the extraordinary claims made for the sea monkeys in the advert, I was fully prepared to see what I wanted to see. And that was the genius of Harold von Braunhut, the creator of one of the world's most successful humbugs, to make you sell yourself on the impossible and feel good about paying for it. Since his introduction of the sea monkeys in 1947, in an advert on the back cover of a Superman comic book, his reinterpretation of the tiny brine shrimp or seahorse into an exotic deep-sea mammal has vacuumed more than $40 million from the likes of me and countless other dreamers who would rather believe in the harmless unbelievable, like a lottery ticket, just in case. And the dosh keeps pouring in to von Braunhut's heirs' coffers, not just from the sea monkeys, but from other must-haves like the X-ray specs, eyeglasses, guaranteed to let you see girls naked under their clothing, or the invisible goldfish delivered in a bowl with a printed warning, do not feed. In an age where the politicians pollute our lives with their noxious bladder, a dram of humbug goes down a treat. Who in their right mind wouldn't bet the farm that those cruelty-free invisible goldfish aren't having the time of their lives never having to diet, or the wearers of those delicious, politically incorrect X-ray specs aren't getting their jollies remotely fixing on their object of desire? By the way, unconfirmed rumors has it that Dennis Thatcher had ordered a pair. Yes, and these and the dozens of other flimflams that burst from their creator's shaky grip on the truth may have added a few inches to Pinocchio's nose, but none produced the mayhem of a Madoff. or brought down a sceptred isle. So I invite one and all to rewrite Dickens and raise a glass of good cheer to dear old humbug. Long may it take advantage of our better natures.
Quite right too, Annette. Perfect. In fact, I'm looking now at the fact you can get a wonderful world of amazing live sea monkeys. It's time for only $1.25. World famous sea monkeys, so full of surprises, you can't stop watching them. They swim, they play, they scoot and race and do comical tricks. Ben, it's almost like a public relations group of first years. It's amazing. You know, so easy to grow when even an 8-year-old child can do so without help. Raise a sea monkey family consisting of mom, dad and their babies in an ordinary milk glass. This is what the world needs. Sea monkeys.
It does, doesn't it, though? When you haven't been watching as we have. Well, we didn't watch it all the time. We just watched bits of last week's convention over here, the Republican convention. Whoa, wow, what you wouldn't give for the biggest load of real humbug and sleight of hand as opposed to what we were getting there.
Well,
you have no idea.
On the plus factor, Annette, of course, with every sea monkey kit, you will receive valuable supplies, including sea monkey growth food, a feeding spoon, sea plasma, and a magnificent, fully illustrated owner's manual of sea monkey care, which includes feeding, raising, training the sea monkeys, and indeed even breeding them, and a famous growth guarantee in writing.
And Katie, how much does that cost?
What? Just a $1.25?
It's probably gone up to my 2 shillings.
Back in the day. No. We were actually sort of looking back to those wonderful days
of
four-colour American
prints. Yes, but
there.
I just wondered if maybe they had gone up even then.
I think it's a whole new world of sea monkeys. We actually see a genuine photograph there of a sea monkey. You just see it behind the microphone. There they are. Katie, do you feel as though you should actually replace the rats with sea monkeys?
I can never replace the rats. But we did actually have, I used to work in a bookshop in Lincoln, and we did have some store sea monkeys as pets.
Store sea monkeys?
We did, yeah. We sold sea monkeys for a while in Otica's in Lincoln, and we had our own little family of sea monkeys behind the till.
And that says it all about the city of Lincoln
in
so
ones?
Many ways.
Real sea monkeys.
No, you didn't have real ones.
We did. We did. We went through, we had like a children's science festival, and as part of the science festival, we sold sea monkeys, and alas, not all the sea monkeys found the loving homes that they deserved, so we felt that we should rehydrate some of their little dehydrated eggs and have a little family of sea monkeys.
And that is just part of the caring, sharing nature of, indeed, sea monkeys in the world today. So
that's unbelievable. Have you got any photographs or anything?
Oh, gosh, it was years ago when I was a teenager. But
yes,
I will talk to the people at the bookshop and see if anyone else can provide
For the biologists, the sea monkeys need
a
brand name for brine shrimp, a group of crustaceans that undergo cryptobiosis. Ben, you're from Brighton, so you obviously know your sea. Do you catch the sea monkeys there as well?
I believe they do, but I haven't been there in a few years. So I think it was probably about 8 years old the last time I went to Sea Life Centre there.
A trip to Brighton. I was a goldfish person. I wasn't a sea monkey person. I preferred the
you could have had the invisible one.
I could have gone for the invisible goldfish. Never went for the X-ray specs because even back in the day, I realised there was something wrong about that. Something wrong. Why would you actually want to see that people are naked under their clothes? It's too shocking. It's too shocking.
And honestly, they didn't seem to have specs that the ladies could wear and see under the guys.
Well,
that's just typical.
Yeah, exactly. You got your cheesecake, you got beefcake, you got beefcake, you got cheesecake. I don't know where we're going. Ryan, any thoughts on sea monkeys?
But no, it's just interesting that I didn't know X-rays were gender specific. But there we are. Now, we had some sea monkeys about 2 years ago. We got them from the local big toy shop that sounds like a dinosaur. And they were £15, so not $1.25.
Ouch.
So they've actually going to have a considerable $30.
But unfortunately, they come in those paper packets now, like the seasoning for noodles. So you open the thing and you lose half of them to the carpet, and then you have to...
That's like genocide for sea
monkeys. It is. It's ridiculous. They don't speak of it, though.
Oh, yeah. there are war crimes to be happening from this?
I've opened up a can of worms.
No sea monkeys. Quick, Katie, put those last two questions to Annette before we actually find ourselves up before the sea monkey court in heaven.
Absolutely. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
It's been very funny. I love to have conversations like this. It's
what keeps us sane in this otherwise slightly strange sea monkey oriented world. Carry on, Katie.
Will you be joining us again soon?
I will, yes. I hope so. And also,
yes.
You there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm coming over in next March. Again.
Well, you promised us. You promised us last time, this March, Annette, that you'd be back up in Lincoln. So don't tease us, my girl.
I got so tied up. I'm sorry, but this time I will definitely make.
Yeah, if only. And I think I know what's tipped the balance, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
It's that suggestion that sea monkeys are very popular in Lincoln. I think that's the reason. You get the midway drive.
That's what it is.
Annette wants to check out the sea monkeys. I think we should put it in the university handbook now.
And I want you all there with them.
We'll do our best.